B-Pod Studios.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger Maserati from the Garden. Advance of Bruins Leafs Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Playoffs. You sampled some of those games last night, right?
Yes, I did. Yeah. Particularly the Columbus-Tampa Bay game.
Oh, my God.
That was like an instant mainline of playoff madness.
Adrenaline.
They really, like, no matter where you flipped, if you were just going back and forth with some of those games like I did, I really couldn't stick on just one. No matter where you went, they were all awesome.
That Tampa, you know. I mean,
I put that one on the radio on the way home last night because I wanted to hear it.
As impressive as Tampa is, Columbus sort of, you saw what they're capable of with their, they got some big guys there who can move, whether it's Foligno or Anderson. Like, they've got some big guys, and they were throwing their weight around early, and Tampa matched them immediately. There was a great moment where Girardi, the defenseman there in Tampa, beat the bag out of Dubinsky. They went at it, fought it, dropped the gloves, which you don't usually see in the playoffs, went at it inside of the first 5 or so minutes after there was a cheap shot there or a high hit. And so that happens. Tampa matches them physically. Well, Tampa's not considered the most physical team, but they match them physically right out of the chute. Columbus goes on the power play, and Tampa scores shorthanded on a breakaway. I'm like, oh, well, you just saw the whole package of Tampa in one, you know, and then a couple minutes later or whatever, later that period, it's 2-0, then it's 3-0, and it's like, forget about it. Tampa's got it all. Explosive offensively. They'll match you physically. They get it. They're fit, you know. They'll fight when they have to fight. They'll score when they have to score. Forget about it. Tampa, forget about it. And the next thing you know, it's 3-1, and then it's 3-3, and Columbus pulls that thing out. It's like Stanley Cup playoffs, man.
I mean, completely flipped. So, like, on the one hand, I looked at it last night, and I said, whoa, like, what if that door creaks open? Like, what if Tampa goes down? Then all of a sudden you look at the Bruins, and the whole thing changes. I mean, for me it does. Maybe not for everyone else, but for me it does. But then on the flip side, I look at that, and naturally I take the glasses half-empty point of view more often because that's what I believe in. Like, if that can happen, then why do people walk around here like this is some sort of layup with the Leafs?
So Maz thinks you're overconfident on the Bruins, and last night's Columbus result, it should be a lesson to you. If the gap between Tampa, which has been one of the best teams in the league in a decade, have had a record-setting year, if the gap between Tampa and the 8th seed isn't that great, then what's the gap between Boston and Toronto?
Microscopic.
Nothing.
Yeah, it's non-existent, really. And so these teams have played, if you count the playoff series last year, they've played 15 games in the last 2 years. The Bruins have won 8, Toronto's won 7. On home ice, the Bruins are 6-2, the Leafs are 5-2. The only difference is the one extra home game from that playoff series last year. That's it. Game 7, that's the difference.
Which you were lucky to win because Frederik Andersen crapped himself.
I just think that it's pretty close to a dead heat. Like, and again, the game sort of breeds that, right? The game is a great equalizer in terms of talent because you can outwork teams, you can outmuscle them. There are a lot of variables there that allow you to close the gap. So if you were to ask me, do I believe the Bruins are better than Toronto? I would say they are the more balanced team. They don't have Toronto's firepower, but they're better on their own end. All the way around, the Bruins are better. Okay, a more balanced team, and I mean that offense and defense. But what the hell does that mean? All it takes is for someone to have one good series, and they're pretty close anyway. I mean, the Bruins have the edge in goal differential in the 15 games by 7 or 8 goals, I think it is, which feels like a sizable amount. But, you know, it doesn't work that way. Like, I just think this thing to me is a coin flip. I like the Bruins in the series because they have home ice. That's it.
I like the Bruins because they're more complete. They're better on D. They're better in their own zone. Their goaltender on paper is better. And they're playing great. And I think they get it as a team. And so
they're not carrying that historical burden that is hovering over the Maple Leafs.
And I think there's more pressure on Toronto, and that plays to your favor. So I like the Bruins. But I don't think this is any walkover. And, you know, that's just what I think. I think I think Toronto's better than you with their forwards. I think they're more explosive and better offensively. And if you're not good defensively, if your goaltender's shaky, you're going to lose the series. So I think it's close. But either way, it's here. Who has the most pressure on him in Boston other than the goalie? Take out the goalie, of course.
Okay, so to me, the way I look at that is, who am I going to be most pissed at if he underperforms and they lose?
I like the way I like the way you think.
That's
man.
A better way to word it.
Okay, and my answer is Marchand. Like, there's no gray area anymore. They can't take donuts from Marchand in playoff series or something close to a donut. They can't afford that anymore. So he had a terrific regular season. He eliminated the bullcrap from his game. He had a 100-point year. Like, he's going to come out here now and lay an egg? Like, I can live with a donut from Bergeron. I'd be surprised, shocked. Because he's so freaking consistent.
It's hard to get pissed at Bergeron.
It's just he's so reliable. He's just
I don't know if I could ever be pissed at him.
Well, so he's just so solid and consistent. And he'll give you something if he doesn't give you points. But Marchand's there for the points. Like, so I would be most pissed at him. Now, if you would say to me, who are critical guys beyond that? Krejci and McAvoy, to me, are huge. Those two guys are huge.
Yeah. Krejci's number one for me, considering the rejuvenated season that he's had and the postseason success he's had when he was younger. He's got to produce. And another guy, Jake DeBrusk. You know, he was a nice surprise for them last year in the postseason. If he sucks in this postseason, like, I'm going to look at and be like, dude, they needed secondary scoring. Where the hell were you?
Absolutely. Career year, if he looks poised, you'll get your opportunities. Again, that Toronto team will give you opportunities. So, yes, Krejci, and highest paid player on the team. We can always go back to that. You're the highest paid player on the team. You got to produce. And this team's going to go deep. You know, look at their deep runs. Krejci led, never mind the Bruins in scoring, the NHL in playoff scoring when they went on these deep runs. So it really, it begins and ends with him in a lot of these runs. David Krejci.
Yeah, look, he's massive. I mean, again, massive. But I mentioned McAvoy for this reason. Okay, 2 years ago, his first game in the NHL was in a playoff series against Ottawa. We loved what we saw. And then since then, last year in the playoffs, he was hurt to start. It got better in the Tampa series, it felt like. But, you know, only now are we starting to feel like he's playing consistently and has the chance to affect games on a nightly basis. If he's the best all-around defenseman in this series, and I think he is, then it should show up. Like, that should be a factor. Let's go start taking this stuff over. Every time we talk to Bob Beers, from the very beginning with McAvoy, Beers says McAvoy wants to make a difference. He's the kind of kid who comes into the league and wants to make a difference. Well, here you go. Here's your chance. Playoff time, right? You're a guy that can play 25 minutes a night, maybe 30 if it's needed this time of year. And you know what? Impact the game on both ends. Let's go.
Did you have one more point, Maz? You teased it before.
I did. I said there's one guy in the Toronto forwards that we haven't talked about. Okay?
Oh, and you should. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. That I think that, you know, he sort of has been lost this year, and he shouldn't be, and that's Nylander. He sat out at the beginning of the year. He missed time. I think he had 6 goals. Like, this is a guy that they gave a big contract to, and he started playing better at the end of the year. It's like he was behind the whole season because of the holdout. And what's the data? It's like right around December 1st, right? So he missed a chunk of time there. He had a garbage regular season, and not until the end did he start to play well. He's a, you know, a 20-goal scorer the last couple of years. He's still young. Like, he just started to come around at the end. Guys like that worry me.
I thought you were going to say Mitch Marner.
So Marner, to me, is he was on their radar last year.
Mitch Marner has killed you, folks. So where you sort of own Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, who sometimes has played with him, and I'm not sure what exactly if he's with him now, but Mitch Marner, here it is, in 12 career games against you regular season, has 18 points.
Ooh.
He has 18 points in 12 regular season games, and last year in the first round of those 7 games, had 9 points.
He kills the Bruins.
So watch out for this guy. Mitch Marner is a guy that you got to worry about, almost, you know, historically again, more than Austin Matthews. But see, that's the thing. Whether it's Nylander, Marner, Tavares, Matthews, Kadri, and Marleau can be dangerous on that third line. They've got a lot of guys who can hurt you, which is sort of different than you. They're more dangerous than you in that respect.
I mean, you're under siege the whole time. Like, that's the thing. It's one wave after the next. So the way to flip that is, you know, maybe your first line puts pressure on them, and if you can get some sort of pressure out of your other, you know, your two other primary lines, then maybe that works too. I also think, again, to me, a lot of this comes back to McAvoy. Control the game. Control. If you're the best D-man on the ice in this series, control the freaking series. Like, I want to see McAvoy become that guy now. It's been long enough. This is third playoffs. Like, let's go. Let's go. I want to see it.
Okay, there it is. I promise. Your reaction, Bruins fans, on the eve of Game 1 or the afternoon of Game 1 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We will have the game after 7 o'clock. And Felger Maz, go to 6:30. Take it right up until the pregame show. We'll talk to you right after these words.
Stay tuned for more Bruins Game Day with Felger Maz from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Broadcasting live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio, it's Felger and Maz. Bruins Game Day on your home of the Bees, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
15 left. All season long, the Bruins have been resilient. All season long, the Boston Bruins have found a way. Tonight, trailing, heading into the third period, the Boston Bruins make it happen. The Bruins win it in Game 7. Victory 7-4 over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Goodbye, Toronto. Hello, Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, last year's last year. I think, you know, there's no sense spending any time on that. They have a different team. We have a different team. And our guys are growing, and they're going to get older, and they're going to get better. And some of those losses in life, those little hardships are the best things for you. They allow you to grow and make you grow. And so, you know, we've all experienced what it's like to lose, and you don't like the feeling. Everything about it, and I said it here 2 days ago, is right away eight more teams go home.
That last comment was so Canadian, I can't even tell what he was saying. It's like a different language. I still don't know what he said. At the very end there?
Couldn't make that out either.
Yeah, something about last teams go home.
I listened to it four times, and like, he has such a thick Canadian accent, I need a translator for him.
Oh, thick is it? My gosh, it's unbelievable.
But he says, you know, sometimes it's the hardships in life that make you better, and you're better the next time, and that is absolutely true. There's also a thing that happens that, when you keep having those and you keep having those heartbreaking defeats, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy and the pressure ramps up and it becomes something that gets in your way. And I think that's happened to Toronto over the years as well. So we'll see how that all goes for them. I promised your calls on the Bees. Here we are. Jared in Sturbridge, what do you got?
All right. So you guys were talking about hometown pressure for Tavares. Is there any hometown pressure for guys like Coyle and Wagner, or does it even matter because they're not our stars? Thanks.
Not as bad. Yeah, not nearly as bad. Not nearly as bad. It's just the way it works here. Even in this market, if Charlie Coyle walked through the hallway here, I don't know how many people would even recognize the guy.
I wouldn't.
You know, I barely know what he looks like. Barely. I sure as hell don't know what Jeff Wagner could come up to me and crack me across the face with a wet sausage,
Chris.
And what's his name? Like, I don't even know his name. And I wouldn't have the first clue. Nor would any of you. So, no, there's no pressure on those guys being hometown guys. None.
It's just not the same.
Tavares? A lot of pressure.
Yeah, it comes with the dollars. That's what it comes with. There's pressure on Krejci. There's pressure on Marchand.
How about the GM in Toronto and the way they built their team? Is there pressure there, Maz? Because you had a good point, I think.
So I just look at it and I say, you know, you've had these first-round exits now 2 years in a row. And you bring in Tavares and you re-sign Nylander? Like, this team needed to make a move to get rid of one of these four. It's a poorly built roster.
So it's Kyle Dubas is the GM. I'm, you know, and Lou Lamoriello. Well, no, he's not in there anymore. So never mind. It was Shanahan who was sort of involved in there, right?
Correct.
But go ahead.
I mean, isn't Babcock really sort of running the whole thing?
Yes. So
I just look at it and say, how many forwards do you need? I mean, you rattle them off and you say, holy crap. So they had a contract dispute with Nylander at the beginning of the year. Okay, he was a number 8 pick in the draft, I think, or number 6. And Marner was like number 4. Matthews, they get all these high picks. All these guys they've taken high in the draft. Big talent. Marner hasn't even been signed yet. He's a restricted free agent this year. So I look at it and say, well, who would you rather have, Marner or Nylander? They should have traded Nylander. Or, now you want to say you want to bring in Tavares because he's that good. Fine. Like, that one I allow for. That's an elite, elite player in the league. I get it. But they should have traded Nylander and got some D help.
So they are still, as has been the case the last couple times you faced them, especially last year, they suck on D. They do. And you've exposed them defensively. And what?
That you can use that.
Yeah, you know what I mean. They suck on defense. And that hasn't changed.
You just, generally speaking, you can't outgun your way to a championship, right? You can't do it that way. It doesn't work in any sport. Like, I look at them on some level and I say, this is like the hockey equivalent of the greatest show on turf. Like, it's all great about the forwards and the scoring and everything else. If you can't stop anybody, it doesn't matter.
Jack and Attleboro, your Bruins thoughts.
Hello, guys.
Hi, what do you got?
The X factor for the Bruins is Tuukka Rask. If he's playing good first 5 minutes, they're going to be good. But if he starts letting in soft goals like he did the last game against Tampa when they were trying to come back, they're going to lose.
Okay. So the goalie's obvious. Of course, Rask has the most pressure, especially because he's sort of at a crossroads of his career in that he's proven himself to be a really good goalie. You know, he's an excellent goalie. If you average it out and give me the bulk stats, the 7-year stats from when he started, you know, took over as a starter to now, he ranks among the best 3 to 5 goalies in the league in goals against, save percentage, starts, wins. Like, he's been one of the better goalies of this decade, one of the best goalies of this decade he has. He also doesn't have a cup. And so there's that thing, which is natural and I think totally fair. You know, what is he? What's going to be his legacy? What's he going to be known for? Is he just a regular season system goalie that's good but not great, not good enough to win a cup? Or does he have his breakthrough and win his cup? And so, like, I think that's all fair and on the table. It's also obvious. So, I mean, we've talked about that a lot leading into today. We can continue to talk about it if you want, but I think all those things are self-evident.
I mean, how much better can you be set up than he was this year?
Set.
Right, he played whatever it was, 43, 44 games. I don't even know what the final number was, but it was low. It was really a 50-50 split for the most part. They gave him his rest. He's got a good team in front of him.
The D is healthy. They've played well. It's all lined up for him.
I mean, really, it's set up.
He's better than Frederik Andersen. He's better. So he just has to show it. He was better last year, and he didn't show it. He was better against Reimer, that bum, Murray, 6 years ago, and he didn't show it. Goaltending's been a wash in this series the last couple times you've played them, even though your goalie is better. Maybe if he just plays like it, that's a huge advantage for you. Chris in the car, who's got the most pressure on him for the Bruins?
You guys are all wrong. It's Pastrnak. I'm sorry. It's Pastrnak. Sorry. He was the leading scorer. Well, not the leading scorer, but one of the top leading scorers before he slipped on the ice and fractured his thumb. So it's Pastrnak.
It's a good point, Chris. I'd feel more like you did, though, if he was still sort of hurt in the end of the regular season. He looked like he was fine. But if, let's say if, the scoring dries up, he, you know, starts favoring the hand or blaming the hand, then I'll go back and put him on the list, and he'll be number one on the list.
Well, and rightfully so. He destroyed these guys last year. I think he had 13 points in the series or something like that. He destroyed these clowns. Didn't he have a goal like in the first game or two where he just basically skated in, went between the legs and scored?
I can barely remember.
Remember? I want to say in game one or something when they obliterated them, if I remember right. I'll go back and look. But he had some silly goals.
Tony and Holbrook waiting patiently. Thanks for hanging on. Tony, what do you got?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Quick question. What do you think has more pressure, Marshawn or Tuukka, since Tuukka had its issue early in the season?
So I think Tuukka's issue is sort of in the past and not a factor in the pressure. I think the pressure on him is that he's a really good goalie who hasn't always played like it in the postseason, and it's sort of he's due to have his moment. If he's just a good goalie that never has his time and never breaks through and wins, then you think less of him. You will. And I, you know, maybe rightfully so. And so, you know, how many more kicks at the can is this group going to get at it? Is he going to get at it? I'll tell you this. I mean, I think I talked about before that if Bruce Cassidy loses this series, he's not going to be fired. If Mike Babcock loses this series, he might be fired. If Tuukka Rask loses this series and plays poorly, I could see him being gone.
Sure. I wouldn't rule that out.
I could see him losing his job over this.
I mean, they got Halak in another year, right?
So that's a fair amount of pressure. That's a fair amount of pressure on the guy. Again, it's also just obvious. And so we've tried to stay away from that a little bit. Colin in Hull has something for us. Go ahead, Colin.
Hey, I didn't know if you guys saw this yesterday, but McAvoy and Backes collided at some point in practice. And I didn't know if you guys had heard anything else about that. I know McAvoy left the ice for a second and then came back out. And who do you think we'll see first, Corrali or Backes? Thanks, guys.
Okay. Murray, what do you know about that collision yesterday?
They dodged a bullet, and the team said that he was fine, and he came back out, like the caller said, and skated afterwards. But, you know, it was reported as they dodged a bullet. And the camera guys, NBC Sports Boston, they, you know, have their Twitter account, and they had the video of it, and it looked bad in the moment.
Would you cue it up for me so I can watch it in the break?
I remember Murray mentioning this yesterday, and I haven't put a lot of emphasis on it because he said by all accounts he was fine.
But you watch it, and it's a...
I mean, defensive health is a huge factor and a huge improvement for the Bruins, even though Kevin Miller's out. Last year, McAvoy was back but really hobbled from that late-season knee injury. He wasn't himself. And Carlo was out.
It's a big one, too.
And so now you have Chara, presumably, fully healthy. You've got Carlo in there, finally. And you've got McAvoy, presumably, fully healthy. It's a big difference.
Huge difference. Huge. And again, I just look at McAvoy as being the most complete defenseman they have. Okay, so to me, that is one where, you know, if McAvoy is going to be the kind of, you know, franchise defenseman, a guy who can alter, alter things from the back, then to me, he's got to step up and, you know, we got to start to see it now from McAvoy.
Okay, I'm just watching the video. Get away from him, Backes. What are you doing? Jeez. Yeah, slew foot the guy.
Right.
Hey, why don't you slew foot it? I got Marchmont there. What are you doing?
Subconsciously angry. He's been left off.
Stay away from him. My God. All right. Mike and Danvers, go ahead. What do you got, Mike?
Yeah. Hi, guys. Now, I know Rask is the obvious thing, but I want to break it down a little bit where it comes to Rask, because there's two places you can beat him. You can beat him five-hole, and you can beat him underneath the crossbar. And I'm telling you, one of these years, Toronto's going to figure that out because he goes down too easily. So I think we got to watch to see if they're shooting under the crossbar or if they're trying for five-hole. And I think that could make a difference, okay, just like Mike. You talk about that.
Yeah, something tells me Toronto's already figured it out.
Yeah, you think?
How many goals did they score last year? The goal scoring wasn't their problem.
Oh, gosh, it was in the 20s. I mean, you know, 22 or something in the series.
They score fine.
It's not the issue.
You're not winning these games 2-1.
No.
All right?
So, I mean, hell, I know where to shoot on Tuukka.
Of course.
Go for his glove. Like, you know, five holes. Like, I feel like five holes there on just about everybody, for crying out loud, if you can get a goalie to, you know, open his pads. But Tuukka's glove side. You beat him high glove side. He's a great glove.
Here's Murray's update, and we're back with more of your thoughts right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
From the center of the hockey universe, it's Felger and Mass. This is Bruins Game Day. Live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sun shining, first day of the Masters, playoff hockey. Can't beat this time of year.
We got you covered up until the pregame show. Going to give you an extra bonus half hour of Felger and Mass starting at 6. Bob Beers will join us as well. We'll continue to take your thoughts up into it. We did a bunch of other stuff earlier in the show as well, so I still see Celtics calls on the board. We'll absolutely get to you. We did a little Patriots draft stuff, so we can absolutely get to that. It is all up to you, your phones, the rest of the way. Jeff and Marbro, though, on the Bruins tonight. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. Two quick points. I'll hang up. For one, I think a big part of the Cup win in 2011 was the physicality. So who's going to drop the gloves first in this series? And second point, real quick, I can't help but think that Wayne and Grafton's going to have something to say about them sucking on D.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. Well, whatever. Interesting turn of phrase. Depends where you're coming from. Maybe it's not so unfortunate, depending on. Anyway, physicality. It's not about dropping. It happened early in that Columbus game last night. It was brilliant. It was tremendous. But that's not what it is. And it was interesting to hear Cassie talk about it earlier, how they sort of baited Toronto earlier in that series last year, got Kadri suspended. And you wonder if Toronto's going to take that cheese. I mean, if we're up to Toronto, there's no physicality, right? It's just go-kart hockey whizzing around the ice.
No, it'll be a European game is what it'll be, effectively, if they get it their way. I mean, I just think as soon as the guy said drop the gloves, anytime a Bruins fan says that now, I sort of like roll my eyes. Are we still there?
No.
Like, the game's not like that anymore. They haven't built the team like that anymore, which is I'm happy about.
Non-factor.
Oh, God, please. Like, you know,
people have bloodlust, Maz.
Okay, I'm okay with guys knocking people around. I mean, you know, Clifton playing in this game tonight, and it is going to be him on D, I think, right? Is that confirmed?
Yeah.
Okay, so Connor Clifton, I like the way he plays. I like the physicality. But he's not going to drop the gloves, you know, deliberately and beat the crap out of someone just for the hell of it.
And again, nothing wrong with being on D if that's just, you know, it's 2019. Christian in Foxborough. Go ahead, Christian.
Hey, what's up, guys? So real quick on a quick Steelers receiver who's a tool bag. I don't think you guys mentioned Martavis Bryant. He might be the biggest tool bag out of all of them. But quick question on the Celtics. Do you think with Marcus Smart being out, it gives Brad Stevens a chance to maybe showcase and have the offense run through Hayward more, which is ultimately what he wants?
Maz?
I would say yes and no in that we were already seeing
I mean, you want Gordon Hayward in there.
I would love to see Hayward start in place of Smart. I don't know if that's the way they're going to go. I get the sense that it may be Brown because Brown's a better, you know, one-on-one defender or can be a better one-on-one defender than Hayward can, and that ultimately that's really what Smart's in there for is sort of the one-on-one defense. So, in terms of will it give him more of an opportunity to run it through Hayward, I like Hayward better with Kyrie. Like, to me, that lets Kyrie run around a little. That's when, to me, when Kyrie's at his best.
John in Hanover, more on the Celtics. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, based on the shovel loads of crap coming out of their mouths, is Kyrie Irving turning into the next David Price? Thanks, bye.
Okay, it'll be different. I just think he is setting up to be one of the great Boston sports villains in the modern era. I'm telling you. After all the nonsense he spewed this year and how he dragged the team down, he really did, with all of his crap. And the undermining the coach and the undermining the young players and the selfishness and just the whole Kyrie package was a big factor in why they had a disappointing regular season. But he told you all the way along here in the second half that this doesn't matter. Seeding doesn't matter. Home court doesn't matter. It's about the playoffs and the talent rising to the top. And I'm really confident in ourselves. And why are you confident, Kyrie? Because I'm here, he said. So if he delivers in the postseason and wins on the road, he's justified. And he wins.
Yeah, he'd be right.
He'd say, okay, tip of the cap. You were a total tool bag during the regular season, but like LeBron, you got in the playoffs and you won and you went where you were supposed to go. And so, fair enough, you win. If he loses, if they can't win on the road and their seating was a factor and home court was a factor and he doesn't deliver, oh, is he going to look like a tool bag? He's going to look like a giant tool bag for dragging this team down. Giving away games, sitting out games, never mind undermining the coach and the young player and all of that, and causing you to play on the road where you can't win. And then if he bolts to New York, oh my God, he's going to be Ulf Samuels. He will be one of the classic Boston sports villains.
Oh, no question. Yeah, and again, I'll just keep it to this postseason. Like, because if he leaves to go to the Knicks, he's screwed no matter what. Short of winning a championship, which I don't think they're going to do.
No, he'll be screwed. But can you imagine if he underachieves in the postseason after dogging it in the regular, and I say dogging it for lack of a better term, but for dragging you down in the regular season, then he doesn't come through in the postseason, and then he bolts?
Oh, yeah, no. He'll never live it down, not in this town.
Oh.
But the whole idea of sitting there and saying seeding doesn't matter, so then you're going to lose to Milwaukee in the second round because you don't have home court? Like, he will look like a complete asshat.
Oh, I mean, and again, I'm going to hold all these comments against him. Jimmy, just real quick, do me a favor. This was February in Chicago. It was after the All-Star break where this guy, after sitting out the last two regular season games before the All-Star break because of some, what was that, thigh bruise or whatever the thing was, then goes and plays in the All-Star game, grab-assing with Durant the whole time. They come off of the All-Star break. They lose in Milwaukee on the last play. Then they get their ass handed to them in Chicago.
By a bad Bulls team.
Horrible Bulls team, and then they got blown out the next game in Toronto. It was during this stretch that this exchange occurred. Jimmy, go ahead.
Starting to get to the point where you're concerned that the struggle that you guys have had a week into the playoffs?
No. No, I'll be fine.
Why do you think that?
Because I'm here.
We'll be fine because I'm here. All right, let's see, Kyrie.
Oh, yeah, no, the great stabilizing force that he's been.
Let's see.
There.
Well, but look, I mean, LeBron was a tool bag. His regular seasons, everywhere he's been, have been dumpster fires, and then he gets in the postseason and he wins, and you sort of forgive it. Like, what's the diff that the Cavs were a 5 seed and they hated each other?
Yeah, this guy's not LeBron.
They still made, well, if he wins road games and he takes them deep, then he's LeBron.
Well, we
so
know
let's
that.
See. I'm,
but
look,
he doesn't. I think he thinks he's.
Well no, he does think he's a Bron.
But let's see. I'm fair.
So look, no.
If he wins in the postseason, we don't care what happened in the regular season.
No, I concede that. I'm just telling you, I don't think he can do it the way LeBron does. That's all I'm telling you.
Bob in Abington on the Bees. Hi, Bobby.
Hey, I just want to talk. You guys haven't talked about Zdeno Chara all day, and I think he's going to be a huge factor because, I mean, he's 40 years old. He's a freaking tree out there. You know, just a big stiff. And, I mean, hopefully McAvoy can, you know, if they have that pair set up, you know, McAvoy has to step up and take over for Chara because, I mean, they're both going to be playing 30 minutes a night at least. And Chara's, you know, first round, second round, third round, whatever.
I don't know what that last thing means. First round, second round, third round, whatever.
I don't worry about Zdeno Chara. Well, I really don't.
I think he's got a steady level performance, and I'm confident he'll – reach that level. I don't think this is a good aesthetic matchup for him.
I was just going to say,
well, then say it.
This is a bad matchup for him.
Those guys can fly.
He has a fast team. It's a bad matchup. You know, he's typically better with, you know, someone that he can totally needle from maybe a real, real little guy.
No. He likes the, you know, like the Malkins of the world.
Sure, a bigger center, absolutely. But I think sometimes the real little guys have trouble getting around him just because he's the diameter is so long.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they have to get so far away from him to make it work. But, you know, his matchup, clearly, his better matchup is a big guy.
I think that's
clearly.
It's another T-shirt possibility. First round, second round, third round, whatever.
Whatever.
It means nothing. I have no idea what that means. Derek in Charlestown. Go ahead, Derek.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I was wondering what you think about, I know Toronto is real fast, but David Backus not being in the lineup. He brings that veteran presence. You know, he's crap, and I'm probably faster than him on ice. But I feel like just bringing that spark of that veteran presence gives the team the plug in the playoffs. Like,
I'd rather have a guy that could move. I like the veteran presence, but you have Bergeron, you have Char, you have other guys like that. You know, and not a ton, but I don't know what David Backus's veteran savvy is going to do if he can't catch the guy.
Yeah, no, I don't want him out there. So can he give him the veteran presence before the game? Like, you know, you need a pep talk, get him in the room. Fine, I'm okay with that. But he can't keep up. The guy's glacial. And I love him. I love him to death. He's had a good career, all that. But the game's, you know, the game's too fast for him now.
Zach in Rhode Island. What do you got, Zach?
Hey, guys. Do you want to know the reason why I'm betting my firstborn on the Bruins in this series? It's
why?
Because of playoff experience. It's the core. Most of the main core of the Bruins has done at least one, if not two, cup runs before. Compare that to the Tampa Bay or to Toronto, who have, guess how many people on their roster who have made it out of the first round of the playoffs?
So Muzzin won one, right?
He won it with the Kings. Five total. So it's Muzzin, Hainsey, Freddie Anderson, career San Jose Shark, Patrick Marleau, and your boy John Tavares, who made it to the second round once. And that's it.
So I do think the whole experience factor is in the Bruins' favor, no doubt. I think it's what kind of makes them dangerous, that whole Chara, Bergeron, Krejci, Rask, Marchand, you want to include that, like still that Stanley Cup core.
Final roundup.
Is still here, and is it a final roundup, and they've got a lot in the tank and a lot that they've, meaning a lot in reserve that they can go to, past experience. I think that's what makes them dangerous. Fine, check mark Bruins there.
I mean, Krejci, too, like I know you mentioned him in that group. Like, Krejci has had, he's like Benjamin Button. He went backwards this year in terms of, he got younger, for crying out loud. He looked like the old Krejci.
Derek in Rhode Island, what are your thoughts, Derek?
Yeah, guys, I disagree with that caller, Mr. Whatever, over there. I think Chara and McAvoy are going to be just fine with one of those two centers, either Matthews or Tavares. The guy for me is Brandon Carlo. He's obviously, well, in theory, going to get the second matchup of those two centers, and he has to cover for Torrey Krug. So I think he's really the X factor. The game's going to be played there on that second matchup. Thanks.
It's a good one. That's a good one, Derek.
It is a good one.
Playing with Krug, absolutely.
I mean, he's another one. Carlo is that has been, you know, hurt in the postseason and hasn't. We haven't really seen it. And this year, Carlo had a good year. I mean, I think the three biggest, you know, variables for them this year were Carlo, McAvoy, and Krejci. Jim, so, like those guys, Carlo's huge in this series.
Jim and Beverly, hi.
Hey, Mike. So, Mike, with Tuukka tonight, I mean, this is it for me with him. I have no confidence in him. But if he can prove it to me tonight, make some big saves, make some big stops, steal the game, that would be great. If he doesn't, if he has a poor game, or if he lets in a couple soft ones, then that's it. He's not getting game two. You got to go to Halak.
Okay. I think Cassidy would. He doesn't have to steal it. You don't have to. I mean, hopefully.
Just don't blow it.
Hopefully the Bruins aren't getting outplayed to the point where he has to steal you a game. No, a caller before said, shoot par. The Bruins are better. If they play like it, he'll only have to shoot par this series to win. And if he don't, you say you'll be done with them, and it's not just tonight. I think if he really gags it, and they gag the series, I think he's done. I think they move on from him. I mean, I think the coach is
they
sort
might.
Of, the coach is, I won't say done with them, but is, you know, anything or, you know, anything that Rask would have had in reserve for the coach, reputation, past success, blah, 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 has sort of been used up. I think Cassidy's at a point now where we play the best guy and are we going to keep the best guy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think if Rask really blows it this series, it could be the end of Tuukka Rask. But I'm not expecting that. I expect the Bruins to win this series. I expect him to play well because he's good. My only hesitation is that I expected that last year, and he wasn't good in this series. I expected that in 13, and he wasn't good in the series, and so that's the problem. But he's good. I fully expect him to play like he's good and for them to advance, and that's what I expect to happen. If it doesn't, then we have a conversation. Felger-Maz is not done, folks. Felger-Maz is going to 6:30. We're giving you an extra half hour of Bruins coverage up until Dunkin' Donuts pregame. They drop the puck shortly after 7 right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. So don't go anywhere. We'll do the final word next and take no commercial interruption, then go right to the top of the 6 o'clock hour with more of your Bruins thoughts. So don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Bruins Game Day with Felger-Maz from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. We're looking for the best deal on tires. Only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nope.
So before we get to bonus Felger and Maz coming up here at 6 o'clock, let's go back to something from earlier in today's show when Mike Felger mocked the charmed lives and delusional rainbow-filled brains of the Celtics fans.
So you're looking at a potential fully healthy roster, the full lineup, potentially ready to go for game one.
Yeah, I mean, it could be the healthiest we've been all year.
Ha! This guy. It was Danny Ainge yesterday on Retouch and Rich. Yesterday. Let me just get to the Marcus Smart thing. First of all, the bull crappery that comes out of the Celtics to me is just, it's fascinating. It's fascinating. It doesn't anger me, but it is fascinating. And you know, most people think, yeah, Kyrie's going to be here. Of course he's going to be here. You know where they get that from? Because that's what emanates out of the Celtics. Because it's like, they just have to blow sunshine up everyone's keister. It's just in the culture there. Is it wee? It's like that Celtics Happy Land thing. And, oh, it's brutal.
It's just too much.
It's just like, so just to make themselves and their fans and the whole Greenland feel better, they sort of like.
It's kind of delusional is what it is.
He's not hurt. 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 No. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. It's one thing for fans to do this, but I think the organ is, I think Danny Ainge does it. And listen to Danny Ainge when he's asked about it. Go ahead, Jim.
I saw Marcus getting treatment yesterday. He was feeling much better.
Stop! What do you mean? He's feeling much better. He couldn't get in the machine, Danny. He was in such writhing pain, they couldn't even take a picture of it. Ask a Celtics person about it. Yeah, he was feeling great. He was doing good. And I don't think it's for – there's no competitive advantage there to be gained. I think this is a great example of how they operate, which is just – over the top. Kyrie for three. Wee! He's fine. He felt great. Wee! I mean, it's how they operate there.
I stand by it.
It's true, though. They are like the happiest people on Earth.
Happy land.
No, it's like basketball Disney.
Oh, as Danny went on to say, he's made of steel. We never thought he was. He's like a cartoon character. They treat these guys like cartoon characters.
Other than the oblique. The rest of it is steel. Yeah, the oblique is paper mache, but the rest of it is steel.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.